In today's gospel, Christ rewards the faith of the Canaanite woman. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Winston Churchill was the great Prime Minister of England during the Second World War. He was known to be very, sometimes acerbic, kind of rough around the edges, but he was famous for his one-liners, very quick wit. For example, one night he was at some kind of a state dinner, sitting at a table with some of the upper crust of British society. Now, many of the gentry and so forth of England at the time didn't like him. He was a commoner. And again, as I said, he was known to be kind of rough around the edges. So this particular night, he's sitting there, and right next to him is a woman who didn't like him to start with. And apparently the conversation went in a direction that she found offensive. So she turned to him and she said, "Sir, if you were my husband, I would poison your tea." He looked at her with that clever wit and replied, "Madam, if you were my wife, I would drink it." I wonder what her response to that was, you know. But I share that with you this morning because in today's gospel, there is a one-liner, so to speak, that's one of the most famous, well-known phrases in the gospels. This Canaanite woman says to Jesus after in their little repartee, "Sir, don't the dogs, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from their master's table?" We've all aware of that. We've heard that so many times. Even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from their master's table. What's going on here in this dialogue? Let's look at it just for a minute. First of all, by way of setting the scene, so to speak, Jesus has moved out of Palestine, the Holy Land, into pagan territory. He's in what we today know as southern Lebanon. This is the only time in the Gospel of St. Matthew where he moves into pagan territory. Remember, he says, even today in the Gospel, he's come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the house of Israel for him was kind of like a beachhead. It was supposed to be. Remember when we invaded Europe in the Second World War, we invaded the beaches at Normandy, but we weren't there just to get Normandy. We were there for the whole of Europe. Well, when God invaded the world in Jesus, Israel, Palestine, the chosen people, were the beachhead. But he intended to come for all people. And when he goes into pagan territory today, that's a sign of that. He's come for everybody. Secondly, you notice this Canaanite woman who comes to him. She calls him by the name Son of David. She recognizes who he is. And she bows down before him. Isn't it interesting that she comes and does him homage and recognizes who he is as the Messiah when some of the leaders of the Jewish people at the same time are beginning to reject him? So here we have that scene. Now, the dialogue. This is one of the most controversial encounters in the gospel because it seems to be so contrary to what we see of Jesus elsewhere. Look at the way he treats this woman. First of all, she comes and asks him for something, and he ignores her, just ignores her. Here we have the incarnate love of God ignoring somebody. When do we ever see that anyplace else? Secondly, he seems to reject her. I've come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he was rejecting her, not because she's not a good person, but because of what? Because she's not Jewish. Rejecting her appears on the grounds of her being a pagan. Finally, he has that awful line, sounds so awful to us. It's not right to give the food of the children to the dogs. He seems to be calling her a dog. What's going on here? What's happening? Well, maybe I could explain it best by giving you an example from the Middle Ages. What happened when a young man wanted to become a monk, wanted to join a monastery? And in those days, you didn't fill out papers, it wasn't an application form, you didn't have psychological testing or anything like that. Well, what would happen is that a young man would simply show up at the monastery, knock on the monastery door. And usually in those monasteries, they had little plates you could pull back to see who was out there, you know. So that first time he knocked, somebody would pull back a plate, look out, close the plate, wouldn't say a word to him. That was it. So a day later, maybe he'd knock on the door again. This time, he'd hear a voice from inside the gate saying, "What do you want?" He'd say, "Well, I want to be a monk." He wouldn't answer him, wouldn't hear anything. Third day, knock on the door. "What do you want?" I want to be a monk." "Look, there's no room for you here. The monastery's full. Come back next year." Fourth or fifth or sixth day, knock on the door again. This time the door would open and they'd say, "We told you there's no room here. Come back next year." Close the door. Several days later, he'd knock on the door again. This time, they'd open the door and welcome him in. See what was happening there? They were testing his resolve. Did he really want to be a monk? Did he really have the fire of God in his heart? Did he really have a true vocation? If he didn't, he'd leave. If he really wanted that, he'd stay and keep asking to come. I think that's what's happening between Jesus and this woman. It's not that he doesn't want to give her the gift. He wants to be sure her heart is ready for it. He wants to be sure that her faith is a true faith. He's testing her again and again. And only when he's convinced that she knows what she's asking for, she believes in him, and she's ready for the gift, only then does he give her the gift. I think that's the way it is between you and us and God sometimes too, you know. How often do we pray for something we think is very good for ourselves or for someone else, and God seems to be ignoring us, he doesn't listen to us, or he seems to be rejecting us? What's going on? Well, is it possible that God is testing us to see whether our faith is true, or also to prepare us, to make sure we're prepared for the gift? Sometimes he might want to give us a gift something we ask for, but we're not ready for it, really. You parents, how often did you have the experience with your little ones, particularly, Mommy, Daddy, I want this, 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 I want, I want. Did you always say, okay, honey, here it is, right away, here, have it, yeah, no, yeah. Because you know if you give them everything they want right when they want it, they begin to take the gift for granted and you for granted. And many times they're not even ready for the gift. They're not even going to enjoy it. Well, that's the way it is sometimes with us and God. We have to be ready for his gifts. We have to be truly open to them. And sometimes, of course, we might ask for a gift which isn't good for us. How often do our children do that, right? Ask for something that's not good for them. You give it to them because they want it? Of course not. That may be true between God and us. We think we're asking for something good, but God sees a big picture. He sees that that gift is not going to lead us to salvation. Everything he gives us is to lead us to salvation, something we don't recognize. We can't see the big picture. He might say no because it's not going to lead us to salvation. But many times he does want to give us what we ask for, but we're not ready for it. He's got to prepare our hearts for it. He's got to make sure that when the gift is given, we're really going to be able to receive it properly. So he tests us. He tests our faith like he does with this Canaanite woman. So maybe we have to learn something from her today in that we have to continue to be trusting. She never questions Jesus. She never takes disputes with him. She never says, wait a minute, don't call me a dog. Wait a minute, don't ignore me. She just keeps asking, trusting that he will give her what is best. She's persistent and trusting. That's the way you and I have to be. Persistent and trusting that God will give us what is truly good for us when it's good for us. One other thing we could learn from her. It's implicit in what's said today. When we receive those gifts, let's not forget to say thank you. May God bless you.